Welcome to the Beacon broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Today, we come to the closing of 1 John chapter 4, and indeed, the end of the third and final section on the subject of love. We read in 1 John 4:20 and 21, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." This is a very solemn warning. This tells us that love for God is validated by our love for the brethren. And maybe I should say a claim to love God is either validated or invalidated by our love for or lack of love for the brethren. In other words, words are cheap. Many people saying, "I love God," but their actions toward other Christians tell another story. Now, this actually is a repeat warning. This is not the first time that John has told us the very same thing, but it must be important because he tells it to us again. And what it says, in essence, is that a lack of love for the brethren equates to a lack of salvation, no matter what one may profess. In the first section, on the subject of love in chapter 2, we read these words in verse 9. "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now." Or turn to the second section on love in chapter 3 and read these words in verse 15. "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." Or the opening words of the third section on love in chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." So, three times, John has already said essentially the same thing, and now he concludes his final words on the subject of love with yet another warning, that if you don't have love, especially if you don't love the brethren, then you don't really love God, and you don't possess saving faith. You don't possess eternal life. We need to examine these words very carefully because they are obviously very important. And to that end, thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, November 27. And for this purpose, thanks to those whose financial gifts make it possible. Well, notice first the Christian profession. The verse opens, verse 20, with these words, "If someone says, 'I love God.'" That's a profession, isn't it? If someone says, "I love God." Someone. It's a possibility. It's hypothetical. But it's a common thing. In the circle of churches and church fellowship, there are many people who would say, "I love God." And it is true that a profession of faith, and that in essence is what we're talking about here, and the various ways to profess your faith in Christ or to profess that you have been born again, that you know God, that you are saved, that you are a follower of Jesus Christ or believe in Jesus Christ, the many different ways that a profession can be made. And the truth of the matter is that a profession of faith with the lips is part of the Christian life. It's an essential part of the Christian life. It's not just an optional part, it's an essential part. Jesus said, "Whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven." Well, that's a good thing. If you're going to heaven, you've got to have a mediator. You've got to have an advocate. You have to have one who says, "This one belongs to me. I died for him or her. This one is mine. I confess this one as my own." You need that to get into heaven. You know that, don't you? "And whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." Now, you're not going to get into heaven if Jesus denies you to the Father. If he says, "I don't know this one. This is not a child of mine. This is not one who has believed in me. I do not claim this one." You'll not get into heaven if Jesus denies you to the Father. So I'm not overstating the case to say that a profession of faith with your mouth before others is required. That's not the way we obtain salvation, but when salvation is real, that is one of the evidences of it, one of the necessary evidences. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, says Paul in Romans 10:9, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You see how closely together there the Apostle Paul, speaking as directed by the Spirit of God, links together faith in the heart and the confession of the lips. It's vitally important. But it is also possible to make a false confession or profession, whichever word you prefer to use. And that's what John is dealing with here. He's not talking about true Christians who make a valid profession of faith. He's talking about counterfeit Christians who profess something with their lips that is not evidenced by their life because they do not have a changed heart. If someone says, back to 1 John 4:20, if someone says, "I love God," that's the profession, "but hates his brother, he is a liar." That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? So, we're talking about the act of professing. If someone says, we're talking about the contents of this particular profession, namely, "I love God." We just read in verse 19, "We love him because he first loved us." That links together God's love and our love, and links together God's love and the result in our life, which is salvation, God's powerful love, God's overcoming love, God's invasive love, God's life-changing love, God's heart-changing love. It's talking about salvation. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, "I love God," in other words, he claims that God loves him, we love him because he first loved us. If someone says, "I love God," but hates his brother, he's not telling the truth. What this profession does is take the general statement of verse 19 and personalize it. We love him because he first loved us. That's a general statement that applies to all believers, all Christians. It's a truth that applies to everyone. But if someone says, an individual takes that general truth and says, "That's me, that applies to me. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. That's true of all Christians." Well, I love God. That's me. I love Him. If someone says, I love God, personalizing this general statement, he is thereby implying enabling grace. I love God because He first loved me. I love God because of His work within me. In other words, this is a new birth claim. That's exactly what it is if someone says, I love God. He's claiming to be born again. That's the contents of this profession. It's another way of stating it. There are a lot of different ways to profess to be a Christian, and this is one of them. To say that you love God is to say that you are a child of God. It is to say that you have been born again. It is to claim that you believe savingly in Jesus Christ. If anyone say, I love God. And so, the truth about Christian professions is that there is a variety in the language that is used. Sometimes we make a profession by saying, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for my own salvation. I believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal God who was born of a virgin and lived a sinless life and died a vicarious death upon the cross and rose again bodily from the grave and ascended back to heaven. And I believe in Him. I'm trusting in Him. I believe in Jesus Christ. That's one way of professing to be a Christian, and there are others, but here's one as well. I love God. But as John is telling us here and making very, very clear, it is possible to say the right words, but without any true meaning. It's possible to say the right words falsely. And these words are valid only if they are a true expression of the heart. Saying, I love God, isn't the evidence that you really do. Any more than saying, I believe in Jesus Christ, is evidence that you really do. Now, there are so many in our day that have been taught that you never, never question anybody's profession of faith. If someone says he's a Christian, you accept that. If someone says, I believe in Jesus, you accept that. If someone says, I love God, you accept that. Well, I understand that, and to a certain extent, I even agree. The strongest application of what is being said here is not for my examining others, it's for my examining my own heart. Am I one who says I love God but hates my brother? Then obviously there's something wrong with my profession. But it's also true that this is a valid test for people around you, particularly those that you have some responsibility for. I heard a Christian lady, a fine Christian lady, say one time, well, something I promised I would never do was question the profession of faith of any of my children. And she has several children, and I don't know that any of them give any evidence of walking with the Lord, but they all claim to be Christians, and some of them are living in horrible, horrible immorality and walking so far away from God that there's no evidence of the new birth whatsoever. And yet this mother refuses to acknowledge that it's possible, that it's even possible that these children who have professed to be Christians might not truly be saved. That's foolish. That's dangerous. You can't even deal with your children wisely and helpfully if you don't face up to the evidence that is right before you. And John is giving us that. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. Well, we'll have to take it up again tomorrow. Thank you for joining me. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.